Bells will band, crank it up to 10. Then he's up, dancing on his feet. Well, he's a big mouth, yelling, hey, play some free bird. Just give me 3 steps, and nobody gets hurt.
Then he takes off his shirt.
There's one in every crowd, brings a party in her sound. Good time, Charlie, with a Harley, whiskey bent to hellbound. He's got the next round, but he always drinks for free. Top box of Marlboros. He'll bum a light and steal your girl, then laugh at you for getting all upset. But everybody here knows his name, makes everybody else look sane when he's out as far as you can get. In his mind, he's a rock star, cranking out that air guitar to the bartender says, move, get off my bar. There's one in every crowd, brings a party in a sound. Good time, Charlie, with a Harley, whiskey bent and hellbound. He's got the next round, but he always drinks for free. There's one in every crowd that usually
everybody. This is Friday, May the 19th. Welcome to a happy hour party. Let your hair down or off. It's the end of the week. Time to enjoy ourselves. Let's laugh, be crazy, and enjoy. Two things will not be tolerated, race and religion. No discussion. We're going to talk about religion tonight, though. All right, my peeps, let's do the damn thing. Website is theessenceofsuccess.net. My YouTube shows are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m., The Essence of Success. Thank you for supporting and joining this show. My co-host is Sheha Spirit. So let me bring some people in. Jessica J., welcome to the show. And Deborah R., welcome to the show. Glad to see y'all. All right. Hi, Jessica. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Dee. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hi, Jessica.
I'm doing great. Well, thing up that I want to not really talk about too much, I don't know, did y'all know that Jim Brown died today, the running back for Cleveland Browns? It was well known years ago back
in the
70s.
Yeah, I got a message.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I just saw it by accident. It wasn't something, but I'm not on social media, so I'm just on LinkedIn, so
no,
LinkedIn didn't
either.
Say anything about it. Huh?
No, I just got I get an alert sometimes for certain things, like I guess from the news, they'll send me like when there's somebody died or there's something going on, you know, the shootings and stuff like that. So, yeah, I got an alert saying Jim, what's his name? What was his name? Brown. Jim Brown passed away.
Yeah, I didn't even know that he was sick. Well, okay. I know I said we won't tolerate race or religion, Dr. Bell, but I'm just curious. I was going to ask in the room today, was anybody religious or, you know, maybe you're Christian, but you're not religious. So I'm going to ask you and Jessica, how do y'all feel? Are you religious or not?
I'm not real religious.
I'm not either.
Even though
anyway, Jessica?
I was raised.
Okay. Huh? Go ahead.
Oh,
huh?
I was just getting my daughter together.
Oh, I was just asking the question, are you religious? Me and Deborah said no.
Deborah.
Welcome in, Christina. My
Hi.
Christina.
I'm here.
Yeah. The question before is, are you religious? I know you are. You're strong Catholic, Christina. Jessica, what did you say? I know you said you were talking
memory.
To your daughter. Huh?
Oh, no. I
said you have a tremendous memory.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Would you say, Jessica, sorry?
I was getting her together because you know how kids are. They want their little snacks and watch their cartoons. So
No, that's okay. Take care of your child, honey. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I guess because I've played the piano for so many years, I've seen the good and the bad, the joyful, the happy, the ugly. One thing I don't do, which, I mean, I retired from the church as far as playing an instrument. One thing I will not do again is play for a funeral. That won't happen. And what else? Maybe a shower, because I have played for a couple of baby showers for people. But, no, I won't do that for a funeral again. The last one I did, the family had to pass me because the organ was in the back of the church, okay? But it's the door that you go out was past me, right? And I don't want to be crying. You know, and they come out, I was like, I can't do this more. This is just too emotional for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I mean, I enjoy playing. I'll admit that I really did enjoy playing for the churches, but I've seen things that they've done that they shouldn't do religiously, and I couldn't go there. I said, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, no doubt, but I don't know these. They have pomp and stance, all this type of ceremony and stuff, and you know what? I go to the Bible. Where is that in the Bible? Where is it for a pastor anniversary or the wife's anniversary or her birthday? Where is all that in the Bible? Don't say all that.
So I have a story to share. I have a story to share.
Oh, go ahead, Christina.
I, too, play piano and organ, and I did it for the church for many years. I don't anymore, not for the church. But my girlfriend and I, during summer vacation, had to practice. We did funerals and for the Mass and for Christmas. Well, we could play whatever we wanted because we were the better students. And we were in the church. There was no air conditioning. It was a huge pipe organ. All the windows in the church were open. And we opened up all the pipes on the organ and started playing the music from Alfred Hitchcock, A Funeral March of a Marionette. Da-dum, da-da-da-da-dum, da-dum. Do you remember that song? and so we never thought that the whole neighborhood could hear this. And so there was a phone up in the choir where the nuns, you know, could call, and they did call. And they told us we were to practice the music we were supposed to. It is one of the funniest things I ever remember.
Oh, wow. That's something. My funniest thing is people that can't sing.
and be trying to sing, be like, oh, Lord, let me hurry up and get to this song. Have you ever experienced that, Christina? At the choir, and I'm a solo singer out in front of the choir and can't sing with a darn.
But it's the best they've got.
Or you have the one that outsings everybody.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was the
best
they
had.
Huh?
What was the question? I'm sorry, I was like walking around and getting my daughter when you guys were like talking.
Oh, we were just, Christina plays the piano and organ too like I do, so she was telling us a funny story what happened to her. And I told her, I understand, because to me, my funny story was just people that are in the choir and they can't sing. You know,
oh, yeah.
sometimes people just let them go, you know?
Yeah, I know, right? They give them too much hope. You know, sometimes some people's passion is not, you know, what they, you know, are supposed to do. But, yeah, or you got the one that tries to out-sing everybody. Another one.
Oh, but, yeah. Patti LaBelle, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've had some funny.
I love Patti LaBelle.
Oh, I do, too, but she out-sings. You know, when she performs, she out-sings everybody on the stage. You know, but
yeah.
She just got that voice.
Yeah,
she's a bellowing singer. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But what was the question?
Are you religious?
I think I'm like a little bit of both, spiritual and religious, but I'm more on the spiritual side.
Me too.
Like, I believe that I respect people in religion, but I feel like, you know, I love religious people. But, like, some things I feel like it's, like, a controlled situation. Like, when they get too over the top, I'm like, okay, too much. But, like, mm-hmm. you know, if there's, mm-hmm. like, a balance, then I'm okay with it.
Well, see, that's
yeah.
my problem. Well, I'm not religious. It's because of the control. Spiritual, yes, you got
yeah.
me. But the control mechanism, and I'm like, you know what? God just say love people. Pray for people. You know, treat each other
right.
with respect and honor and love. You know what I mean? Like, what is there? I did a shower once, a wedding shower. So, you know, I had a little wine in the punch. You know, not a lot now for us to get high or nothing like that, no. But just, you know, wedding punch. But I put a little wine in it. Do you know that Sunday at church, our whole woman Sunday school class, because it was for us, you know, one of the ladies in there was getting married, we had to get up and stand before a church and ask for forgiveness for drinking wine shower punch, which wasn't a lot of wine. I mean, come on, these are my other Christian sisters. Would I look like putting a fifth of Jack Daniels or something? You know what I mean? Just a little sangria or something like that to give it a little flavor, that's all. But we all had to stand up in church, and that pissed me the hell off. I said, didn't Jesus serve wine?
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
No, they couldn't get no response about that. But I said, well, Jesus turned water to wine. I said, and I bet they were feeling real good. They weren't feeling that on mine.
I think the problem is people, it's alcohol. I don't think drinking alcohol is a sin. I think the sin it comes when you get real drunk and out of control.
And you're misusing your temple. Yep.
Right.
You're misusing your temple.
I don't understand why. Because there's a lot of people that go to church and they consider themselves religious and they still drink. Okay.
Yeah.
But then there's
That's
people
true.
That look at you all, like you said, made you stand up in church and talk, you know, ask for forgiveness.
I
yeah,
know.
That's why
I'm like,
not religious, I guess.
I had the pastor's wife one Sunday invited me to go to lunch. So she goes, well, Sister Boyd, you're not going to be drinking any wine, are you? I said, no, but when I leave, I'm going to have a cigarette. And I told her like this, God sees me before I see you. When I wake up in the morning, God already has seen me. So, yeah, I'm going to enjoy myself. No, I respect you and I won't drink any wine. But when I get out of here, you might see me in my car smoking a cigarette. And, I'm like, please, God saw me before you. What, I only got to fess up to God.
I believe that. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
You're not doing anybody else harm. You're not doing anyone else harm. So, people are judging, you know. But if you're not doing anyone else harm, then there's no harm in it. So,
yeah, that's true. I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just I don't know. I stopped going to church. Like I'm really particular about churches. I don't know if you guys are. Like if I can't connect
with
it,
I stopped going too.
Yeah,
I was going, but I haven't gone in a long while.
Oh,
yeah, I go when I feel like it. When it's on my heart, I'll go. It don't matter what church either. I don't care, black, white, Asian, whatever. I just feel like going to church because I know that day I'm going to hear something that's going to improve my life.
Right.
So that's how I feel about church.
I like
but to go every Sunday, nah, I'm not that good, not no more. Mm-hmm. When I was playing, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, choir rehearsal. Yes, I was faithful. I was committed to God, not the church. I was committed to God that you gave me a gift. I don't know about, let me ask you, Christina, did you guys get paid when you were playing?
No.
See, and well, here they pay the musicians in church. Here, I mean, I don't know about California and Vegas, but here they pay the musicians. I never got a dime because I told them God pays me. I don't need your money.
Mm-hmm.
God pays me every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I must, for me, when, we're intermingling with other churches and stuff, and I talk to other church musicians, and they said, you could get paid every Sunday, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I do. God pays me. That's more than
the
money that you're getting.
Right.
That's more than the money you're getting, and the gift that I have to play came from God. It didn't come from church. It came from God.
And it's a gift you're sharing.
Yes,
so
it is.
That's why you.
Girl,
that's where you get blessed.
Yeah, but some
blessing.
Of these people
you get blessed.
They get paid $200-$300 a Sunday. Yeah,
I know.
Wow.
A lot of churches here do pay them, but I'm a little bit older, and when I was playing for the church, we did not get paid. They probably need musicians now, and maybe that's why they have to pay them. But when I played, I didn't get paid.
I was offered it several times, but even when we played at another church, we was invited to another church, and they, Christina, after all the collections was done and stuff, and they said, okay, well, here's the money for the musicians. And I told them, I don't want your money. And they're like, take the money. I said, no, I don't want your money. God already paid me. So, give it to the sick and shut-in or somebody like that or help a youth out. But I don't want your money. So, they get a little miffed with me sometimes. But you know what? I didn't give a darn because I said, I'm playing for God. I'm not playing for y'all. You give me the music to play or what you want to hear, that's fine. But I'm playing for the glory of God, so... it kind of gets them. It's like, because they're in a secular world, and they feel like, you got to do this, you got to do that, and control over this. And I'm like, When you find all that stuff in the Bible, let me know.
I know.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree. Amen. I agree with that. And I wanted to ask you, Ms. Linus, so, when certain people, when did you find out, you had a gift? How long did it take you to find out, I have a gift that God gave me that, because I understand that, some people are like, I don't believe in all that stuff. And I understand that, religious people are like, that's just such a gimmick and this and that. But I do believe that God gives people a certain gift, for good reason to help other people on this path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe that. We all have gifts. All of us do. My piano gift is because my mother put me in piano lessons. And after a while, I got to enjoying it. I was enjoying it so well, I was learning how to play by ear for myself. And my dad got mad because he said, "We ain't paying for that. You better play that music on those sheets or whatever you do." Yeah, boy, because I was listening to the rock and roll. Shoot. I'd come home and tickle on them keys till I got that song. My brother would be like, "You're going to get in trouble."
You know what? Should I tell you, some of my favorite music was from Beauty and the Beast. I just love playing that music. And I do not have a good singing voice. And the dog just looks at me so peculiar, like, what are you doing when I sing along? But I just love that music.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like
my favorite is Godfather.
Is what?
Oh.
The Godfather 1, 2, and 3. I play that music.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, I fell in love with Michael Corleone.
I like Titanic.
You like
Titanic music is beautiful. Titanic.
Oh, Titanic, yeah, that's nice too.
Yeah, the music in the background of it. It gives you, like, that spiritual meaning. It's like, you know, I'm more of, like, the connection type of person, like, with the music. But the sound of it, it's like sometimes it feels like it brings you back to that century, like as if you were there, but you weren't there, you know? So I like that music. Yeah. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Certain music I like too. I don't know why I got attached to the Godfather music. I bought all that sheet music and I play it. So I don't know about you, Christina. Sometimes I pull my baby grand out, girl, and I get on that piano, and nothing else matters to me but to hear those notes in that music. I don't hear anything else. It's like I cancel the outside world, and I focus on hearing that sound, that tone. The clarity,
indeed.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I have so many favorite old classics, but there's so much good music out there, so much. It's hard to choose.
There truly is. There truly is. I play it all. I play a little Madonna. I play some Whitney Houston. Who else do I play? Never did Michael Jackson. I don't know why. It never got to me. but, I play a few of those. So, what's the one
I like
the lady years ago, Get Here? I used to play that all the time, too.
Do you guys like that song? Oh, do you like that opera singer? His name is Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, Andre Bocelli, girl, that's my man. Watch it now.
Bocelli.
I love him. I give him sight.
Oh. Yes. His music is so remarkable. Like, his voice is this, that opera he sings, it's just beautiful. I think he's from, like, Italy or something.
Yes, he's Italian, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I love
Andre. I've got most of his CDs. I put my opera on, but his opera is a little bit different because, I shouldn't say opera, his songs are a little bit different than opera. It's almost like it touches your soul, you know, something about like the prayer and some of those that he had. Oh, my God, it's just like it touches your soul when you hear it. So, you know, you can say opera because that's, what, of course, what he sings, but it's something about some of his music. It just, wow. And you know what? My daughter turned me on to him. I didn't know about Andre Bocelli, and I was like, wow, she was a teenager then. And I was like, what she know about opera?
Did Aretha Franklin sing a song with him, sing one of his songs or something like that? Was that him, that Aretha song?
I know Celine Dion,
in his language.
Oh,
I thought it was
Celine
him.
Dion.
I had No, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know.
I thought she had song with him.
Not that I
did a concert.
Oh, no, she did a song for him. No, yeah, that was real famous. Aretha was filling in, not for Andre Bocelli, but for, who's the, Pavarotti. She filled in for Pavarotti.
Oh.
That's what it was. And it amazed everybody because they said she learned the song in just a matter of hours. And then she came out and performed it in front of the crowd. And they said she, and I watched it. She did an excellent job for somebody that just learned a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did an excellent job on it. So. Yeah. Okay, well, my next question is, what makes a good parent?
What makes a good parent?
You know what? That's a good question. I feel like what makes a great parent is the connection that you have with your child, like your children, you know, and understanding them. And, you know, being able to not bring your child, like, you know, try to do better than what you grew up like with your children, you know, because a lot of times I feel like growing up with my parent or one of them, I feel like they brought a lot of their childhood trauma upon, you know, you don't, I feel like what makes a good parent is distinguishing and getting the help that you need so that way you don't have your kids going through mental illness and all this distress and trauma.
Yeah, and showing
them love, you know, teaching them to be respectful also, because, you know, not necessarily just spoiling them, giving them everything they need to learn how to, that they can't get everything they want. I know I have only one daughter, so, yeah, I tried to, you know, I would spoil a little bit, but I also wouldn't just give her everything she wanted.
Yeah.
But, it's a lot.
I think
a good parent.
Boundary and discipline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, discipline. You definitely need the discipline because if you don't, they're not going to be turned out very well.
No. You know? I've seen a lot.
Because
if we don't discipline them, the world will, and that may not be the way we want it.
That's what. Right. You know,
so we want to get ahead of the world's ways, the way the world looks at things, because it's not always correct, and most of the time it's a lie anyway. But my thing is nurturing them mentally as well as physically.
Mm-hmm.
So not only the brain, the learning aspect, but your emotions, your issues, your understanding, you know, all that is important. And like I said, and you know, yeah, nurturing and that part, and definitely discipline, because I used to tell both my daughters, Shavonne and Pudgy are 8 years apart. So Pudgy got spoiled because they're 8 years apart, and then Shav got spoiled. But I let them both, they both know, they'll tell you, my mom is crazy. She'll love you to death, but she'll hurt you. But you know, that's me. I'm a very loving person. I'm very generous. But I always told my girls, don't ever think you're going to F me, okay? Because if you think that, you're in for a rude awakening. You underestimate
your
mom.
No matter how old you get. No matter how old they get.
Yeah.
I think you
underestimated your mama. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I learned with parenting, like, try not to overcompensate with guilt. Overcompensating for, you know, how those parents are like, I never had nothing, so I'm making sure my kids have everything, and they don't learn nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're celebrities, not in touch with reality. But what I liked about Michael Jackson is that he always kept that humility with his children, even though they had the money that they had.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, and I feel like, you know.
No, go ahead.
No, I just feel like with parenting, it does come with a challenge, but I can't say there's not any perfect parent, but there is a balance.
No.
Balance. Yeah, especially with kids, you know, you always want to give them everything they want. And I'd be telling, you know, my sister, I tell, like, my dad, I said, you know, sometimes I don't celebrate the holidays all the time. You know, sometimes that costs money. Our bills being paid is way more important than buying all this other stuff, you know? And, you know, I always feel like, you know, keeping that humility, that balance, but I really feel like supporting your kids as a parent is so important. It, you know, it makes them want to
And
be
the
more.
Number one thing, Jessica, is love. You have to continually
love, yes.
to show
mm-hmm.
your child love, even
love.
When they're wrong. When they've done something wrong, okay,
mm-hmm.
that's unacceptable behavior. But I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
I will not stop loving you. By the way, welcome in, Miss Wilhelmina.
Mm-hmm. Hello there. How you doing?
We're doing
Hi,
good.
Y'all.
Hi,
y'all. Everybody.
Hello.
How's everybody? I recognize. I think that was Sheha. I know Jessica's voice.
Hey,
Jessica. So that was Deborah.
Christina.
Okay.
I always say I'm the only one can call her Christina. She's not with us tonight. Her grandson is graduating from high school.
Oh, wow.
She called me early this morning. She said, I won't be on tonight. She says, Mari's graduating tonight. I said, oh, tell him I said congratulations and love and kisses and hugs and all that good stuff. So,
Good.
Hey, Shabba Voli
was supposed to come.
Yes.
Shabba Voli said she might be on here tonight, too, but I guess she didn't make
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's still kind of early yet. Okay.
Yeah. We'll catch up.
Well, I like what we had to say about being a good parent. My next question is, at our age, is a relationship important? Now, I know, Christina, you're married,
mm-hmm.
and Miss Wilhelmina, you're married. So this is more or less for me, Deborah, and Jessica.
Yeah.
But Jessica, you're young. So I expect you to be in a relationship. You're a young lady. So you still got biological years ahead of you.
I'm so curious. What was the question? What was the question with the relationship?
At our age, is the relationship important? Huh?
Tough Lennon. I can answer that question, too.
Okay.
At this late age, hey, I can say, yeah, you don't need one to know.
You know who we need on here right now, Shabba Voli.
I can't say a relationship is important because I'm not in one. And I haven't been in a relationship in ever so long.
Well,
when did you stop?
Change.
Yeah.
When did you feel like I'm not interested?
Huh?
I don't like, I like my, when did you stop? Like, when did you get to like that age where you're like, you know what? I don't want nobody in my face. I'm good by myself. I'm good with the peace. You know.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't have anyone, but I still would like to be in a relationship. I just haven't met the right person. So.
Yeah,
okay.
I like companionship. I think I'm set in my ways now
mm-hmm.
that I'm a loner by nature, which I am. So I'm set in my ways. But I would enjoy the companionship. I enjoy the sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing things adventurous or things like that. Yeah, I would. But as far as looking for a relationship or wanting a man in my life, no, because I'm too settled. And I like
mm-hmm.
my house a certain way. I'm OCD, so I like my house clean. That's just
mm-hmm.
one of the things with me. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that at our age, we are more responsible for what we're looking for. You know what I mean? Like, we
mm-hmm.
think about it. We don't just jump and like, ooh, he's a good-looking older man. Wonder if he's with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, first I would look like, who is he? What's his character? You know?
Yeah.
I need to know what your character. Do you have issues that you need to deal with? You know, because at our age, we have health concerns,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well as issues. So... You know, those are
yeah,
things
that's
I
right.
Mm-hmm. Do you have good credit?
Because
I ain't helping an old fool, okay?
I agree. You guys feel like older men now are like has changed now than back in the day? Like, is chivalry still alive or is it dead?
No, chivalry's not
dead. I haven't had
it. No. And it doesn't matter to me because I'm a UN woman, so it doesn't matter to me. I've dated more younger men than I have older men, just for the spontaneity, for one thing. But it doesn't matter to me. As long as they got common sense and they can count 1 to 10 and halfway decent on health and credit, yeah, we can talk. I mean, not that I need your money or nothing, but I don't want you to be looking at me. We go somewhere and you looking at me like, you got this? Hell no.
I think I prefer somebody a little younger than me.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know what might come my way, but I'm not really looking at the ones much older than me.
One's in the grave and one younger. You got insurance, baby? Insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like
if you
talk
about marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when an older man's a certain age, I feel like, even though I'm younger, but it's just like I feel like when a guy's older, like he's supposed to have everything already set for himself, you know, stability-wise.
Mm-hmm.
He should.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I think by the time you're 50,
like,
you should have some type of foundation. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when you're 50, you can see that BS a mile away. And it just gets stronger each year.
You know, and if he's retired, he's supposed to have his assets already settled and, you know, there. But, you know, if he's able to retire and travel, then that's good.
Well, you know, at least have a foundation. If you're 50, you know, you got your own place, your own car, pay your bills, you work. You know, and you have it going on. Now, at my age, I expect you to be retired and have good health insurance. And But, you know, at my age, we're looking at men that are retired or close to retirement. Maybe they're near 65 or 66, something like that. But
Yeah,
but, you know, they definitely got a foundation. You know?
Yeah.
So.
But I don't think, like, I think you can always date at any age, you know. I don't think it's ever stopped at an age unless you want it to stop.
Oh, no. They just showed a couple
in their
80s and 90s and just got married. They were married before years ago, but their spouses have passed on. And so they remarried. She was 88, and I think he was 92. And I said, ain't that beautiful? That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard a woman, she was 60. She, her first time ever getting married, she was 60 years old. But she got married to a man that she had been with for 35 years. I said, oh, my goodness. They waited 35 years.
Well, they were already
married.
Ain't that common law after 7 years, y'all?
Yeah,
or do they still do that now? I don't know.
I don't know either. They just made it to make it legal. They had to go do, I guess, get a marriage license and get married. So her first time ever being married. She was 60 years old, but she had been with this man for 35 years. They had been together.
Wow, I consider them already married.
That's right.
That was very committed.
35 years, they was going down that same road together. because if she wanted to get married, she would have said something, and I'm sure he would have too. So maybe they liked it like that. Maybe they just got married for the legalities, for taxes or what do you call death benefits or something like that, where they were legal. Because not being married, even though they were together that long, and something happens, somebody ain't going to get shit.
I know, right?
You know what I mean? They could say, well, she shouldn't have it. They've been together for eons. Well, but legally, by law, no. You know, you have children.
I don't know if they have children, but
that's
a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time. I think guys take a long time to settle, though. They say, like, men take longer to settle and actually get married than women do.
They're not committed to wanting to settle down, because there are some men that they like to start early, you know. It depends on the individual. Those that's running game, and then those that want to be serious.
I agree. I have friends that are, you know, in their 50s, and you know, big guy around her age, and she's like, girl, he's still playing games like he's in his 20s, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe he's going through like crisis.
Well, that's why I say when you hit 50, the foolishness should stop. And definitely by the time you hit 60, that foolishness. You're young, Jessica, so you got a while. You got playtime, you test, and everything else.
You're in your 20s, Jessica? You're in your 20s?
No, I'm 30. I'm 33.
You're young. That's what I'm telling you. The girl got recess.
When I was 33, that's a good age. Oh, I was having a good old time.
I know.
When I was in my 30s.
30s now is different from back then, though. I missed the 90s. I missed the 90s. I missed the how, you know, things were back then versus now. I think the dating pool is a little scary out there, you know. I think I did everything in my 20s now in my 30s. So it's like I've been there, done that, you know. I'm more one that settlement, you know. But I know I'm still at that age where, you know, people still be like, oh, Jessica, you act like you're old. And I'm like, oh, you're 21, you're so young. But they're like, oh, you're young too. But I don't know. I appreciate people older than me. I love the wisdom, and, you know, I can't wait to get older and start talking past these youngins too, you know.
No, enjoy your life.
Don't rush it.
Right.
Yep, don't rush
it.
Your life will catch up with you.
People used to think they were much really old when they was in their 30s back in my time. And I was like, you know, because I knew this lady that she was stressing out over turning 30. I'm like, really? she was older than me, but still I was like 30. And so when I got 30, I was like, I don't feel what's the problem. You know, I was feeling good.
Exactly.
Life changed for me when I turned 30.
I remember when my mother was 30, she cried because my older sister was making her a grandmother. She cried. She didn't want to be a grandmother.
Oh.
She thought she was too young.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
That is so tough.
30 is still young. I was 30. And I met Mr. Smith in my 33.
I can think back of the 33. That was a good year for me.
You and me, 33 was a good year for me too.
I mean, I was having a good time.
I know I had
my 30s. I don't know. I didn't feel that sadness when I turned 30. actually, I was having a complete change of life, I guess, because that's when I left my ex. We split up.
I
don't
have
him. So,
but I was
life started to change.
I was looking good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wish, yeah, I wish
I
could
Nick
be back
was looking
there,
good because I've seen some of her pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Say what, Miss Wilhelmina? Say
there
again.
Was good.
I said, I know you was looking good because you are, I've seen some of your pictures, younger pictures.
Oh, yes, Miss Brenna. You're a bad mama jama.
Mm.
Love it.
Liz.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh,
you.
Well, y'all know I used to model when I was in my 20s, so I think that was one of the problems with my ex, because he couldn't believe he could be with a woman like me. But, you know, they don't
right.
realize these celebrities and models and stuff, you want everyday people. You don't want somebody that's in the same
right.
business as you. You want everyday people. That's why
mm-hmm.
people are shocked. They're like, what did she see in him or what did he see in her? Because they brought
exactly.
something to the table that you didn't other than sex, okay?
That's right.
They brought mm-hmm. something to the table, mm-hmm. so. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Miss Wilhelmina. Now, you know, y'all know I'm 74 years old. And do you know I have
mm-hmm.
guys in their 40s trying to talk to me because they think I'm about 51 or 52? They're in their 40s, and I'm like, look,
yeah.
my kids are older than your
nothing
ass.
Wrong with it.
Thank you for the compliment, but my children are older, and I'm not dating nobody around my kids' age.
Well, I heard that. I don't want to be dating anybody that young either. My daughter's 42. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
No, there's no way I'm going to go. I mean, when I say younger, I'm like 60, you know, maybe 59, but 40s, uh-uh. No, you in the range of my
mm-mm.
children's age,
yeah.
uh-uh. No. Well,
yep.
one of them, the other one, she's in her 50s, but mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. You got to be able to count
no,
the one to 10.
Yeah.
And don't need no paddling, okay?
So, like, it's 40, like, close to 50, 40, 40s, would I do?
Oh, for you, you're fine. Girl, the world is your oyster. You can do 30, 40, 50.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's just what you want to deal with.
I don't know. I'm particular. If it's going to be older, he has to look like some kind of George Clooney or something. I don't know. You got to still have that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how some guys just walk like they got no life to them, like no nothing. Oh, yeah.
You got to have some good swag. You got to have
yeah,
some swag.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe like Obama. Obama.
Yes, Obama. Yeah, that's a perfect example.
He's a
he's
like that.
Huh? What you say, Miss Wilhelmina?
I said, no, I ain't never wanted a guy like that to want to dance when he walks.
Really? That's funny. Yeah, but it, you know, but I think, like, I love that you guys, you know, are so open to date and, you know, being, I wonder, like, being married for so long, do you guys, like, how do you guys keep that marriage alive, you know, like, still, because I feel like the older I see couples, it's like, oh, I'm used to you, so, yeah.
Well, I'm a Gemini, so I know I don't want to, I'm a Gemini, and I know I don't like to be bored.
Yeah.
I just don't like boredom.
I find something
to do. Yeah.
Right.
What about
you, Christina? Do you guys still look at your partner the same? Like, so, you know, I've seen couples being married 30, 40, 80 years. Like, I always wonder, like, because, you know, nowadays these young people, if they sneeze too hard, they break up, you know, and if he, you know, walks funny, they break up. And it's like, you know, they don't feel the spark anymore. But I feel like with, you know, older couples and people who've been married and stayed married, like, do they still keep the, you know, the stuff alive, or, you know, do you look at your partner like, dang, you used to be fine, look at you now, Joe, you know?
Oh, no, I don't look like that, Jessica. No, no, I don't look at my husband like that.
Well, Jessica, you got to realize we live in a fast food society, too. So back then, people depended on one another. They really did, whether it worked out or not, but we did depend on one another. And that's why some people are married for years, because they have an understanding between them. But the young people now are like, what did you say? I'm out. Well, can we sit down and communicate about it and get an understanding? You know, that's why I said we live in a fast food AI society where they want right now. Things don't work out like that. Real life, you got to work. You got to work it. You got to put the work in. Okay? That's real life.
Right.
So you're right, Jessica. They don't. But that's what it is. We're in a fast food society. I call it a Happy Meal society.
Yep. It's like, or like Burger King, have it your way, huh? And if you don't, they be gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
And that's terrible. It's just terrible, you know. It's like that.
I got to tell you, I told Shabby one night, I said, let's go out to dinner. And she said, where are we going? I said, to a French restaurant. Where? Jacques
Oh, I like
that.
How is those French
restaurants? We're going to Jacques and the Bops.
Like that.
I'm just saying that because you said Burger King and made me think of that.
Well, that's good that you guys, you know, I've had two people that have been in, you know, long-term marriages and, you know, stay married and stay, you know, attracted to their spouse and their spouse, you know, vice versa. So, it's, you know, I like that. I like that. I appreciate that from you guys, that insight.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, I know I'm a loner by nature, so it doesn't bother me one way or the other, at this point in time after 60. But I enjoy seeing people that have been married for a number of years, because I know you have been through some shit in your relationship, but you stuck in there and worked it out and made it work, that it was comfortable for the both of you. I admire the hell out of that. I really do. Then these young people, we were married for 5 years and I got a divorce. Well, what'd you get married for if you weren't going to stick it out?
The wedding.
No, I know things come up. You know, drugs, alcoholism, and different things can come up. But if you just really cannot work it out, okay, then get a divorce. But otherwise, try and hang in there. Work on that, because it could be somebody that you're supposed to be with for the rest of your life, and now you've lost that opportunity.
That's right. I agree with that. That you know what, that takes a lot of willpower with both people, you know, like there's always going to be ups and downs with a ship, but some people now in this generation, it's like, they divorced, now she's married to somebody else, or he's married to someone else, or, you know, he broke one leg, he's looking at someone else, and now they're having outside babies outside of the marriage, and, you know, it's ridiculous. But I give my hat to those who stick it through. Stick it through and keep it long, you know. If it's, that's what's owed to you, whatever happens to him, then that's what's owed to you.
Well, you know, another thing, too, when you say ex, if you ever run into your ex again, try and look your best. So when they look at you, girl, you're looking good. Drink it in. Drink it all in, because you missed your lottery ticket.
Oh, that's how I used to always do that. When I run into my ex, I was always looking good, and they started looking at me, too.
Yep. I tell them, drink it in, drink it all in, because you ain't going to get it again.
Nope. I appreciate that, but, you know, it's, you know, my friend was just telling me, she was like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to put money over love, and you know, I think nowadays people say that that's something important, but, you know, that's another thing to be had, too, y'all. with relationships.
Well, you know, I want to say this about relationships, too. When COVID came in, that fractured a lot of our society. People were getting divorces because they were around each other every day compared to going to work, coming home and dealing with the kids. And so when COVID came in and shut us down, that hurt the interaction for us between each other as human beings. You know, it really did. I didn't see my daughter for 4 months, and we're close. And when I did, I just broke down, went to crying. And she said, "Mom, what's wrong?" And I said, "I haven't seen you for 4 months. I've talked to you on the phone, but physically, you know what I mean? Physically, I want to see you." So that deterred, too, on relationships. Maybe that could be part of it why it's fast food, too. Because they felt like, well, hey, we went through 3 years of being locked down. Like, I don't have to put up with that. I can do this or do that, you know. And it did. It gave men and women independence, you know. But I think that was part of the problem when humans started stop interacting with one another.
Oh, yes, I believe so, too. I always think about that COVID thing, and I gave my hat down to, you know, a friend of mine who didn't even take the shot, and I was just like, I can't believe she went to France not too long ago and came back. And I said, they didn't ask you for no COVID shot, or if you did this, they didn't take you out to this and that. She was like, no. It was easy. So I was kind of like, wow, so that whole time we wanted to travel, they were trying to check people's cars and telling them they can't travel, and now it's gone. And I'm like, wait, so they had, you know, people taking all these shots for what?
Now let me give you a little addendum. Jessica, let me tell you the latest from the, who's the, not DNC, that's Democrat. What's the people, FDA? Do you know they didn't shut down the vaccine? That was on the news yesterday. Shut down the vaccine. They are no longer giving vaccines to anyone, child, adult, or elderly. Okay? FDA did that. They shut it down.
So
I was like, now why would you shut down the vaccine if it was supposed to be so good and had everybody mandatory out here scared for their life? I didn't take it, but, you know, a lot of people did, scared for their life. And I was like, yesterday, it was on the news, they shut it down. If you shut it down, are you telling me that this vaccine that you gave out wasn't that good?
They were just talking about the people my our age group having to get another shot. So now they shut it down, huh?
Yep. And so, on the news, you can pull it up on the internet. FDA on the vaccine.
What a deceiving situation, I call it. But then, you know what? I was just listening to something yesterday. They're going to come up with another kind of COVID and putting all this stuff in the air. So it's never ending, you know. Just keep on giving. And then they're like, people took the shots and were the first to be affected by it. But it's crazy how now they're not even talking about the shots. But the fact that they were so enforcing it back then, now it's like completely normal. Everybody could travel with no having to get your vaccine shot, and if you didn't, and all this other stuff, and now it's just like, wow, really? So, you know.
Yeah, you're president.
Like, what was the purpose?
Now they're talking about this eye drops. They're talking about these eye drops that's been infected, that people are dying from. I don't know what eye drops it is, but it's a recall on some eye drops. People are dying from it, they said. So
that was one of my next questions, but we're out of time with health concerns about all these medications we'll talk about this next Friday, because I was going to bring up about health concerns, and we got 9 seconds left, so that's why the music is going.
Okay.
All right, y'all. I love it, love it, love it, love you. Oh, my goodness. Deborah, just a wish. This is what we need now. Christina.